open your Bible to Psalm 119. We've been going through Psalm 119 during the spring. And so today we are in verses 97 through 104 of Psalm 119. And if you don't have a Bible, you can use one of the Bibles in front of you. And the page number is found on page 438 for that, if you'd like to turn there. It's also in your bulletin. So again, I'm going to read Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104, and follow along, if you will, as I read. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong. Church, this is the word of God. As I read these verses and reflected on how it's describing a particular kind of life, a life that you see here that makes you wiser than your enemies, more insightful than your teachers, having more understanding than your elders. The first way I was thinking about describing this life is this is obviously a different kind of life. But as I thought about that word different, it didn't connect with me. I was looking for a different word to describe what's being revealed here. Different is just a variation of the norm. The word I like better to describe the kind of life we see reflected in these verses is a distinct life. A distinct life, a distinction is, it has a certain kind of quality, a certain kind of even attractiveness. That this is, we see here, a distinct way of life that's being reflected. A way of life that is formed and shaped by God's word. It is for us today, as we're going to see, that this way of life, this distinct way of life, comes from God's word giving us God's wisdom. Or to put it succinctly, God's word gives us God's wisdom to live godly lives. God's word gives you godly wisdom. Why? To live godly lives. So we're going to take each of those phrases today: God's word, God's wisdom, godly living, godly lives, and we're going to look at each of those and see what this means for us today from his word. So let's start with God's word. We see it reflected in these verses, described in different ways: God's law, God's command, God's insight, God's precepts. We see these over and over again. Just kind of an umbrella term is God's word. And when we speak about God's word, we're speaking of God's revelation, the Bible. And you may go, God's word, the Bible, got it. What's on to the next thing? What is that? But, you know, a lot of people can read the Bible and it has no impact on their life whatsoever. Lots of people can read the Bible and it doesn't shape or change their life in any way. A lot of people read the Bible as history. It gives us a reflection of a certain time period. Some people even might see the Bible as a reflection of certain kind of mythological ways of thinking, and maybe they even find some religious symbols in the Bible. But even though they read the Bible, sometimes they even teach the Bible doesn't have an impact on their life. Whenever we talk about, as Christians, we talk about the Word of God in our life. We talk about the Word of God and the accompanying Spirit of God in our life. that it is the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, working in our lives through His Word that shapes our lives. And so in a few weeks, next week is Palm Sunday, the week after that is Easter. Actually, when we get to verses 105 and following, we're going to talk about the illumination of the Holy Spirit as we read God's Word. So we're going to talk about that more in a few weeks. But for us today, it is important to note that the reason God's Word can shape our life, that we can read the Bible and it actually impact us, it is because of the Spirit of God in our life. So when we open the Bible, we read the Bible through the eyes of faith, looking to God to see what He might say by His Spirit through His Word into our life. When we open the Bible and we read the Bible, we do so in a posture of dependency and submission to the Holy Spirit in our life. So when we talk about God's Word shaping our lives, we can talk about God's Word shaping our life because it's not just a kind of a flat book of words, but it's the accompanying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, bringing the power of God, of His Word into our life. And what happens as we humble ourselves before the Word of God, as we are dependent upon the Spirit of God in our life, we find that God's Word gives us God's wisdom. Whenever you read the Bible, you'll see over and over again that the language of the importance of God's wisdom. And most of the time in the Bible, wisdom is seen as a positive thing. There's a few places where you might find where it talks about the wisdom of the world in kind of a negative way. But over and over again, wisdom, God's wisdom, is seen as something that's important to our life. Proverbs 28:26 says it this way. He says, "The person who trusts in themselves, the people who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe." So God's wisdom is of paramount importance. So what do we mean to talk about wisdom? It's more than just information. It's more than just right answers. But there's two ways I think that will help you think about God's wisdom. And by the way, all of this kind of outline and structure will be found in the sermon application guide at the end of the service on the guest welcome table. So as we think about God's wisdom, we think about God's wisdom as a way of thinking, as a way of seeing the world. When someone has God's wisdom, they see the world in a very distinct way. They see the world through the lens of God's truth. They're able to discern error, and that's important. But I was trying to capture, what is it about somebody who has God's wisdom in terms of the way that they think? And whenever I've been around somebody who truly I sense has God's wisdom, they have that discernment in their life. They see the world in a very different way. They're not caught up in the moment. Their mind is saturated with the Word of God. And when you come to them and you seek out their guidance, you seek out their wisdom, you can sense that there's something different. Even among other Christians, they have that sense of discernment, that sense of when they speak, it's coming from that place of God's Word in their life. And so when we talk about our ways of viewing the world, ways of viewing reality as wisdom, it's not just about truth and error as much as it is that too. It is about a person whose mind and thinking and ways of thinking about reality is shaped in humble submission to the Word of God. So it's the way it's of thinking, but godly wisdom isn't just the ways of thinking, but it's also ways of living. Look with me on the screen. It says here in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by what? Their good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from," here's the word again, "wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such quote-unquote wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder in every evil practice. And then he says here, the wisdom that comes from heaven. So think about this. Wisdom is not just a way of thinking, it's a way of living. So listen to the characteristics of wisdom. It's first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So a man or a woman who is spending time being formed and shaped by God's word, that is helping them to grow in godly wisdom, will have a life marked by those things. Once again, just again, listen. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Godly wisdom is a way of thinking. Godly wisdom is a way of living. So let's step back for a moment. All right. So we have the picture here, the image of somebody, a man or a woman, for whom God's word is shaping their life. They're not just reading the Bible just for words and information. God's word is forming and shaping their life by the Holy Spirit. And how is it forming and shaping their life? Well, it's helping them to grow in wisdom and the ways that they think and the ways that they live. This before us is the picture, the vision in our lives and in your life of what it means to be a godly man, to be a godly woman, to be saturated with the word of God, to live lives of wisdom, which then leads us to this next and final part. Well, then how do we live this? If God's word gives us godly wisdom to live godly lives, how does that happen? How does that happen in your life? How does this happen in my life? Let me give you three things this morning. Again, this will be in the sermon application guide. The first thing is of essential importance. When we talk about godly lives and acquiring godly wisdom through God's word, the first is, have you been born of the Spirit? Jesus talks about this. Right, he talks about all of us being born of a mother. Like we've all been born naturally, but not everybody has been born of the Spirit. Literally, he speaks of being born from above. Or another translation, maybe you've heard this phrase before, born again. Right? This is a spiritual birth that happens to those who truly know Jesus. Well, how are we born of the Spirit? Right? How does that happen in our life? Well, it happens through repentance. When we turn from ourselves and turn from our sin and put our faith in Christ Jesus. And so what the Word of God does to us, the Word of God first comes to us in confrontation. The Word of God comes to us and holds a mirror up to our lives and shows us that our lives, even in our moral good deeds and our moral acts, pale in comparison to the holiness and righteousness of God. So we're confronted by the Word of God that we are separated from Him because of our sin. And that separation from Him is for all eternity. And then we're confronted with the reality that there is nothing we can do about it. It is impossible for us to satisfy and please and be reunited and reconciled with God. And so the Word of God confronts us with the harsh reality of who we are apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. But then the Bible, God's Word, gives us the good news, which is what? That while we are all sinners, the ground is level for all of us. Christ Jesus came to us in grace and gave Himself up on the cross for our sins. And that means through Christ Jesus, you put your faith in him. Your sins are forgiven. The power of sin is broken in your life. You are reconciled with God, and you are filled with the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit of God when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then you are literally filled with this new life, filled with his Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit reigning in your hearts and minds. And it is this transformation, it is this spiritual birth that enables us to pursue God, that enables us, that awakens the affections for God and his word. See, apart from that work, apart from that work of grace, apart from that spiritual birth, you're not going to pursue God. You're not going to care anything about God. Right? So to talk about pursuing God, to talk about living a life of wisdom through God's word, it's important that we don't presuppose that everybody here has put their faith in Christ Jesus. So if that's you this morning, I want you to hear not just the challenging, confrontational news of who you are apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, but the good news that Jesus Christ has done what you could never do. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And all it calls forth from your life is faith, to respond in faith, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he did what you could not do on the cross, and that he is the way to be reconciled to God the Father. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and God will give you new affections, new desires for him. And one of those desires will be the desire for the Word of God to begin to shape and form your life. That Word of God that then leads you to begin to become a man or woman with godly wisdom, living godly lives. So that's important. Number one, have you put your faith in Christ? And if you haven't, the call upon your life today is the call of repentance. Put your faith in Christ Jesus and Christ alone for your salvation. And the Bible makes this promise, God makes this promise, you will be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's first and foremost. The other two are for those of us who are Christians. The second thing is this. Again, this will be on the application guide. Seek God's wisdom by immersing yourself in the Word of God. James 1 verse 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. The Bible calls us, if you seek wisdom, if you lack wisdom, go after it. Pursue God through his word, and he will give you wisdom. That's why we see in verse 97 of today, it says here, I love your law. I meditate on it day and night. This is not someone who gives a cursory reading of the Bible or opens the Bible on occasion, but this is a person whose life is saturated with the Word of God. That meditation of turning over and over the Word of God, letting it form your thinking, letting it shape your living. Or verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Again, this is not someone who's reading the Bible out of obligation, but a deep desire to know God, to pursue God, to pursue the wisdom that comes. Wisdom comes not from within. Wisdom comes through the Word of God. I like how professor and author G.K. Beale, he wrote a book called Redemption Reversals and the Ironic Overturning of Human Wisdom. If you're looking for a book that's accessible, that'll make you think and stretch you in your faith, I encourage you to get this book. But anyway, he says here about the importance of the Word of God in our life. He says here, the more we read his Word, the more familiar we become with his mind and his character, and the more we are apt to respond the way he would. even in gray area situations that Scripture does not explicitly address, whom to marry, what job to take, you know, those things that God brings up in life. So when we get into the Word of God, we're becoming more familiar with the mind and character of God, so that we are then becoming, or then we're experiencing the wisdom of God that comes from His Word. So seek God's wisdom by immersing yourself in the Word of God. Thirdly, apply God's Word in your life. This is crucial here, by faith. The longer you're a Christian, the more information you will have. And it's very easy for us, and I speak for myself, it's very easy to begin to be a Christian who has a lot of good information, right information, Bible verses information. But it's not just about that information. It's about applying it to our lives. It's about, as we experience God through His Word, that we apply His Word by faith, by trust in Him. And this, I think, is where many of us who are Christians, maybe we've been Christians a good while, it is at this point so often where we struggle. Because God will bring into our lives seasons, moments, decisions that stretch our faith. And we hate those times. We resist them like crazy, don't we? We like convenience. We like comfort. And we like, you know, our own timing, all those different things. We love it when God does things the way we want Him to do it, when we want Him to do it, and how we want Him to do it. But you don't need faith for that, right? You just need a kind of a God as a prop type of thing. But here's the thing. God loves you enough to not keep you where you are. And He's going to grow you, and He's going to stretch you. There are going to be times in your life where you're not going to know everything, and you're not going to be in charge. And it's going to stretch you and grow you. But if you will walk through that, trusting in God, you will see growth happen. What I think happens so often in our Christian faith is we kind of get stuck at a point. We're used to our own convenience, our own comforts, our own timing, all those different things. And we can also times be very stubborn and prideful to God. We were very resistant to this idea of being stretched in our faith. And so we get stuck at that place in life. We can go years and decades kind of stuck in that same place. Instead of taking the opportunity to take some of those responsive steps towards God and to trust Him. You see, faith builds onto faith. God grows us and stretches us. And the reason many of us, I think, are struggling perhaps in our Christian life is we've become stubborn. We've become prideful, right? We've become resistant to the work in our life. And so God's going to push us offshore, to use a kind of boating metaphor, right? What's the saying? The safest place for a boat is on shore. But that's not what boats were created for, right? So God's going to push us out from there. And so to apply God's Word by faith is to walk a path where we don't necessarily know everything or see everything. We're going to be trusting in Him. But what does God do when we're responsive to His stretching, responsive to His growth strategy in our life? God grows us in wisdom. As we experience His faithfulness through these faith-stretching times, we begin to grow in that wisdom that comes through the Word of God. So, what does that look like for you? I wonder this morning what God might be doing in your life to call you to trust Him in faith. What may not be a big deal for somebody else might be a particularly strong issue in your life. That God is calling you today in some area of your life to trust Him, to trust Him and to apply God's Word by faith in your life. Is there some area of your life where God's doing that today? Listen to me. Trust Him. Don't resist. Don't become prideful. Rest in Him and trust in Him. And in that process, God will give you a kind of wisdom that is only from Him. You see, God's Word gives you God's wisdom to live godly lives. And ultimately, for all of us, this is the call to rest and join and be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, so often when people talk about wisdom, they talk about it almost as an intellectual exercise of ascent, right? That you're gonna grow up the ladder of wisdom. But when we see wisdom in God's Word, we see not individuals ascending to God's wisdom, but God's descent to us to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 speaks of Christ Jesus as the wisdom of God. And Christ Jesus is not something we ascend to, but God descended to us in the giving of His Son. In the giving of His Son in His life, in the giving of His Son in His death on the cross, which I just talked about a moment ago, and through the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins and be reconciled to God the Father. And then through the resurrection, right, the next 2 weeks we're going to be celebrating these things, the resurrection of Jesus, the lordship, the mastership, the rulership, the reign of Christ over life and death. This is the message of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says He is the wisdom of God. And so as we close out our time, this part of the service, it's good for us to draw our hearts, our minds, our attention on to Christ, to the one who descended to us so that we might be reconciled to God, so that we might know God, so that you might be a godly man, a godly wisdom, filled with the wisdom of God, for the purposes of God, for the glory of God. God gave His Son Christ to us. And one of the ways that we're called to remember and reflect upon Christ and what He's done for us is through the Lord's Supper. As you came in today, many of you received the elements of the Lord's Supper. And what I'm going to ask you to do right now is simply open each of the elements and hold them into your hands. And we're going to move into a time of reflection. We might call it contemplation. But during this time of celebrating the Lord's Supper, my prayer is that you'll use this as a chance to reflect upon what God is saying to you through His Word today. God's at work in your life, whether you believe it or not. God's speaking to you today through His Word. For all of us, it is the call to draw our attention to Jesus and what He's saying to each one of us. So let's do this now in a time of reflection. So it was as Jesus prepared his disciples for his death on the cross that he gathered them in the upper room of a house. And as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Whenever you eat this, do this for the remembrance of me." After he then took the bread, he then took the cup and he poured it. And he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for the sins of the entire world. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Christ Jesus, we believe you are the wisdom of God. Christ Jesus, we look unto you today. God, I pray today for that person here who is separated from you, who's never put their faith in you, mired in sin and shame. I pray today that as your word confronts, it then comforts. And I pray today for the first time in their life, they'll yield, they'll surrender, they'll receive by faith Christ Jesus, what you did for them on the cross. And that for the first time in their life, they'll experience your forgiveness, your cleansing, reconciliation with you, God the Father, being filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those of us who are filled with your Spirit, put our faith in you, Christ. God, I pray you give us a renewed vision for our lives, a life of a godly man, a godly woman, saturated with your word, filled with godly wisdom, and lives that ultimately reflect your glory. So God, I pray you awaken our thinking, awaken our affections towards you, Lord, that our lives will have that distinctive quality about it, Lord. So we bring our lives before you today. Thank you again, Christ, for what you did and what you're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.